We are checking out rumors that in Chicago this morning the sun may rise in the west. NPR's Cheryl Corley has been unable to confirm these rumors, but she did spend the evening with White Sox fans.
Fans slapped their hands in high fives, shouted in victory, and poured out of Jimbo's, the neighborhood bar closest to the White Sox stadium, as soon as shortstop Juan Uribe made the final play. The White Sox were the world champions, and it was a moment Danny Humanicky said he had always dreamt of.
As a little boy, you always want this day to come. You hope, and it comes. And when
it
comes, you cry like a little boy. It's unbelievable. It's awesome.
What do you think this means for the city of Chicago?
Who's the number one team around here? Who's the big dog?
Forget
White
the
Sox. White Sox.
Sox all the way.
It was raining lightly outside, but fans didn't care, and they danced in the street while police kept a watchful eye. James Brewer walked by holding a broom in his hand.
I had a feeling that they was going to sweep them today. That's why I had this broom. From the beginning of the series, I had this broom. I had a feeling it was going to be four games. That was it. The pitching staff was too strong for them. They couldn't handle it.
Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, a longtime White Sox fan, attended a few meetings earlier in the day and then headed for Houston for the game. He said the White Sox really worked together as a team.
No one's a great star. Everybody contributed in each game in a different way, and that's what I like about it.
Daley says the White Sox were often underrated and that the city's Northside baseball team, the Chicago Cubs, received more publicity in recent years since they are owned by a media conglomerate. That sense of neglect, whether right or wrong, helps fuel the rivalry between the White Sox and the Cubs and even permeated the victory celebration inside Jimbo's sports bar. The Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908, and doorman Eddie Reyes said he was glad the White Sox reached the World Series first.
Rubbing it in their face, bragging rights, that's all it is, basically, just bragging rights.
After the Boston Red Sox finally won the World Series last year and the White Sox this year, the pressure will grow on the Cubs to come through after all these years. Major League Baseball historian Jerome Holtzman says the divisions between the White Sox and the Cubs didn't used to be so strong. He was a young sports writer in 1959 when the Sox last appeared in the World Series.
I grew up a White Sox fan as a little boy. But I'm not just a way. I'm a fan of both teams now. I have been for years. The city seems to be split, and I feel sorry for the Cub fans who were unable to root for the White Sox. They missed out on the fun and, more important, a memorable Chicago experience.
And for a team that hadn't won a World Series for 88 years, the White Sox sweep of the Houston Astros was like a storybook ending. Northwestern University professor Bill Savage teaches a class about baseball's portrayal in literature and film. He says the Sox victory changes the entire story of the franchise.
Instead of being another futile losing franchise whose high point historically is the embarrassment of the Black Sox scandal, the White Sox become sort of the darlings of the 21st century, a team with players from all over the world, a team that plays baseball the right way. It changes the latest chapter in the story.
It's a chapter that jubilant White Sox fans say they'd like to continue with another appearance in the World Series next year. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.